The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn with Craig Forsyth to look ahead to the first day of the Chester Cup meeting. Some really, really good action coming on the Rudy over the next few days. Hopefully we'll be able to point you in the direction of a few winners on day one. How are you, Mr. Forsyth?
Yeah, I'm grand, thanks, Alex. Really looking forward to these 3 days at Chester with the Chester Cup on the very first day.
Yeah.
So, really good 3 days action.
It's one of those meetings, those festivals that you can really sort of get your teeth stuck into because it's, for me, symbolises that the... I love it because it's sort of summer, if you like.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Ice cream weather, would you call it?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's just you're really sort of getting into the summer feel.
A nice suit on and a way out for a couple of days at Chester.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Ice creams and a couple of pums, yeah. Sounds beautiful.
Wouldn't be bad. I think I'm going to be here instead, though. But and obviously the action is obviously not the not as good as Ascot, say. But nevertheless, you get the group races, you get decent contests, and it can be pretty profitable as well because Chester's one of those courses that if you get a grip on it, you can really make money there.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, I don't think the draw is important as it used to be. Obviously, still very important, but. You know, a couple of years ago, they made some alterations to the track, and I don't think the draw is important now as it was.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we'll touch on as we look at the three races later on. But you know, going back 4 or 5 years and further, low drawn horses over the up to 7 furlongs played a major advantage.
You do see it maybe more now than you used to. Horses not necessarily coming from the rear, but flashing down the outside. Whereas before it was, if you can get to the front, you've got...
I think they just all seem to alter the bend.
Mm.
And I don't think it's as tight now.
No.
Which allows the horses to sweep around. And pick up down the middle of the track, as you say. It seems to have made it a more level playing field, which has made it more attractive for the racing, of course.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we'll dive into the action. We'll start with the 145. It's the first race on the first day of the meeting. And it's the Lily Agnes Conditions Stakes. 5 furlongs a trip for this one. 10 two-year-olds going down to post. Two of them are unraced. Big ask for them on debut, but... there's a few nice ones here. We'll start with Tom Dascombe's horse, Rudy. You'd imagine this one has been campaigned with this race in mind, given its name, and got off the mark reasonably well at Ripon on debut, was well backed on that occasion. And Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscote have teamed up in recent years to land this, in 2010 with Julius Geezer and last year with Cuator.
Yeah, indeed, Alex. Obviously, you know, as soon as he won at Ripon, it was one of them horses where you think Lily Agnes at Chester. But he's been drawn in stall 9.
Mm.
But, you know, what is more concerning for me is the recent form of the Tom Dascombe runners. His recent stats for the last 14 days are 0 from 19. So a big worry coming into the race. And, of course, he's also been drawn in stall 9. Isn't the best draw. And, I think he could struggle. He did well to win his maiden up at Ripon, the second midterm break of David Barron's. You know, he has won since, but you wouldn't say he was impressive. He struggled, to be honest, winning his maiden on the all-weather at Savile. So I think Rudi will need to take a major step forward from Ripon. But obviously, with only one run, he's open to improvement.
Okay. We've got Cheerio Sweetie, who's drawn in one. Now, she got off the mark at Lingfield and then went to run in the Scottish Brocklesby at Musselburgh. Was beaten on that occasion by Mark Johnson's debutant Muckmal, who reopposes here, but is drawn out in 10. So, I mean, you'd expect Muckmal to confirm the form were this on a normal track, because, must confess, Mark Johnson's horse looked a nice type that day, but he's out in 10.
Indeed, Alex. You know, I think that is the key factor. You look back at previous winners of this race as well, and 5 of the last 6 winners made all. Obviously, Mukhtal did make all up at Musselburgh, but it's very, very hard to see Paul Hannigan getting out from stall 10, getting across some speedier types drawn on his inside and getting to the front from that draw. And I think that's where the problem's going to come for Muckmal here. But yeah, like you said, it was a very impressive performance up at Musselburgh. He burst out from stall 1 in the middle of the track, was quickly across to the rail, and he gave the impression that there was a lot more to come from him. You know, Cheerio Sweetie on that occasion didn't get the best of runs. She missed the break and ended up behind a couple of horses, was checked at important times of the race, and Declan Bates had to angle out into the middle of the track to make his run. And
I don't think she was given the best ride that day, to be honest.
She wasn't, but you look, there's a big turnaround at the weights here as well. Because you look at the conditions of this race, and because it was a Class 2 race up at Musselburgh, Muckmal carries a 6-pound penalty here. So that doesn't make it easy for Mark Johnson's horse, particularly when you think he's drawn out in 10. So I would favour the filly here to reverse those placings from Musselburgh, particularly if she's drawn in 1. And what we've seen of her on debut, very, very quickly away, and she looked a real speedy type at Lingfield. She had the race won after a couple of furlongs, knew her job well. And I think this will be the case again at Chester. I think she'll be quickly away, and that'll be the key factor. I think the first few furlongs of this race will be important, and Cheerio Sweetie could be in the prime position here.
Okay, she also has experience of going around a bend, which a lot of these won't have, and that could be key, especially from that draw. You could just see her shooting out, handling the conditions better than most of the others, and staying there. So would the Evans horse be a pick there?
It would, yeah. And you look back as well, last 2 winners of the race were both fillies, so that wouldn't put me off. Perfect position. David Evans has won the race back in 2009 with Star Rover. His horses usually do go well round Chester. She would have to be the pick. I want to mention at the price could go well, Magical Memory for Charles Hills. He shaped pretty well at Newbury, showed lots of speed on debut, just tired in the closing stages of that maiden won by Casp. But I think he's the type that will improve dramatically from his first outing.
And was a well-backed favourite on that occasion, so more expected there of Magical Memory. But Cheerio Sweetie to pick there in the Lily Agnes.
Definitely, that's the one for me, drawn 1. We did say the draw wasn't as important as it used to be, but
no, still.
First pick, stall 1. I think it will be an advantage for the opener of the Chester May meeting.
Okie doke. We've got the 2:15 up next. It is the Cheshire Oaks, a listed contest for fillies over an extended 1 mile and 3 furlong trip. 9 runners go to post for this one. You mentioned that the draw isn't as important, but one that a lot of people will be keen on here is drawn out in 9. I know this is over a longer distance, but it still can have an effect. Bright Approach for John Gosden and William Buick. Now, I remember, I can't remember who was in the studio, but it was someone who's keen on their speed figures, saying that Bright Approach was actually incredibly, incredibly quick on debut at Newbury. Would you be siding with the Gosden horse here?
I would, but I don't think it's as simple as you made up with the speed figures there, to be honest, Alex. Obviously, she impressed at Newbury. She came from some way back in that contest to get up in the closing stages under William Buick. She looked the type that would improve stepping up in trip. And you look at the form of the maiden. Be My Gal went on to win a listed race at Goodwood at the weekend. The third home for Roger Varian won a Haydock maiden. So the form from Newbury has a very solid look to it. And Bright Approach just looked a filly that was going to take off once she steps up to a mile and a half again. So this step up and an extra furlong here will be play to her strengths. And yeah, you have to consider Anna. You know, she will be the pick, but she's got some decent types to overcome here, Alex. And I think the other couple to touch on, obviously, is the favourite, Aidan O'Brien's filly, Terrific, who looked very useful as a juvenile last year, and winning over trips of seven furlongs and a mile, which she's not really bred to do. You know, she is bred to want this kind of trip, and particularly a mile and a half and further. And you look back to her seasonal reappearance at Navan, where they crawled in the early part of that race. But the way she picked up in the closing stages to stay on for third was encouraging. And like I said, she's not going to be an easy horse to beat. She's another one to consider in this one. And at the prices, one at a bigger price, I was particularly impressed with Brown Diamond in a maiden at Newbury last time. She came from last to third in the closing stages, and it didn't go a breakneck pace early. So it's always hard to pick up under such conditions. But I thought it was an eye-catching move. And again, she's entitled to improve from that first outing of the season. But the pick would have to be a Bright Approach. Like you said, she made a real nice impression on debut. The form has a rock-solid look to it. And yeah, I think she's the one I would side with in the Oaks, the Cheshire Oaks tomorrow.
Okay. The final race that we'll look at is the 2:45 from Chester. It is the Chester Cup, a heritage handicap over 2 miles and almost three furlongs. Class 2 event with 17 runners down to go to post. A really tricky race to call, this one, as ever. I mean, you mentioned the draw, again, always important at Chester. Last five winners of this have been drawn 4, 5, 1, 13 and 2. So barring Ilda Ray's win in 2012, it has paid to be drawn slightly on the inside, of course. Where should we start with this one, Greg?
Yeah, I think there's a clear form pick here, Alex, to be honest. The favourite, Mubaraza, is a horse that is definitely going forward. He showed a real good, solid level of form last year as a four-year-old, running in some of the top middle distance and staying contests. He was third to Tiger Cliff, of course, and then went on to finish fourth in the Ascot Stakes behind Well Sharp, and followed that up finishing third in the Northumberland Plate. So we know this horse will stay. He's shaped like a stayer. He ran a really good reappearance at Ripon behind Angel Gabriel, who reopposes on £3 worse terms in this event. But, you know, he travelled really well in that race. He's entitled to come on for the run. I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat, Alex. I really do. But the stumbling block for me is the form of the Ed Dunlop Yard. 0-26 in the last 14 days. Mm. So that would, you know, temper confidence a little bit with the present well-being of the yard. But he is a clear form pick for this.
Okay. What about Dangers then?
Dangers. Glenard has shaped all last season like he's there, but he can be very, very keen in the early part of his races. So I would have slight concerns how well you'll see out this trip if he does take a hold early in the race. And he's a hold-up horse, Glenard. He can get himself too far back in his races. And one thing you don't want to get caught out is out the back of Chester. Mm. So that would be a concern. I think the biggest danger, and I'd put up and definitely worth a little saver, is Tom Daskins' horse, Brockwell. He shaped really well last year, particularly at Newmarket in the Cesarewitch trial, when finishing third behind Oriental Fox. It wasn't a bad run in the Cesarewitch itself, finishing ninth, only beating eight and a quarter lengths by Scatterdice. He comes here a fresh horse after a break of 194 days, but he's a prominent runner. The track will suit. He's got, you know, I don't think he's handicapped out of it on a mark of 90. He's 14 to 1 with William Hill, and I think he's worth a little saver.
Okay. So the selection would be Mubaraza.
Mubaraza with a little saver on the Tom Daskin horse, Brockwell.
Okay, lovely stuff, Craig. Can you just spin us through your three picks at Chester? on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, we're going to start in the Lily Agnes 145 Cheerio Sweetie for David Evans. Then in the Cheshire Oaks at 2:15, Bright Approach for John Gosden. And in the Chester Cup, we're going to have two bets, Mubarasa for Red Dunlop, but we're going to have a little saver on Brockwell for Tom Daskin.
Lovely stuff. Cheers, Craig. Enjoy the action.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.